Hi guys, and welcome back to Clueless, the podcast. So, if you don't know where you're going in your life or where you want to go next, then this is a podcast for you. We're here to share our stories and hear from your experiences and hopefully inspire you guys to follow the career that you want to do and live the life that you want to live. As always, guys, you know it by now. Don't forget to follow us on Spotify and on Apple Podcasts and on Instagram at @Clueless_the_podcast. I really want to quickly say thank you so much to everyone for listening, for sharing, for commenting, for DMing us about our last episode. It is, you know, I'm so glad that you all took something from it and learned and listened from Estelle and Olivia's experiences. It really means a lot. So thank you. If you haven't listened, then it's our previous episode, so go give that a listen.
So this week we decided to do another graduate focused episode, but this time focusing on the realities of graduate life, from the struggles of looking for a job to the reality of no longer being a student and finding your identity within the working world. We thought Maddie from Mind the Gap Graduate, a blog all about providing advice for graduates and young people, would be the perfect guest to have on to talk about the realities of life after graduation.
We'll be discussing her own experience of leaving university and entering the working world, why she decided to start a blog, and some tips and advice that she's learned after graduating about how to conquer this new stage of your life.
So yeah, firstly, thank you so much, Maddie, for chatting to us today. We can't wait to hear just a little bit more about your experiences graduating from uni and why you decided to start your blog, Mind the Gap Graduate. So firstly, how did you find kind of applying for jobs when you were at university? Did you find it quite difficult to balance like applications and interviews while also trying to study and get your degree?
I'd say that I've thought I was quite organized with it. So it was probably the start of third year. I started applying to quite a few graduate schemes in like the public sector and kind of like police and prisons sort of work.
That's fun.
I don't think I found the application side of it stressful alongside my studies, but I think what I found quite stressful was thinking, is this really what I want to do? Does that job really fit well with my skills and what I want from a job? So I wouldn't say the applying and the interviews. I had so many video interviews and I hate them
God.
I feel you.
So it wasn't really that caused the issue. It was kind of the, am I just doing it for the sake of it? Am I doing it so I can have that conversation with my friends? Like, oh yeah, well, yeah. I applied to this one. That's great that you've done that. This is what I've done.
So true.
But yeah, I'd say that's probably what I struggled with. But you just got to keep like a good Excel spreadsheet of everything and what stage you've got to. And then you can keep on track with it that way.
Yeah, that's a good tip, actually. That's a good shout.
Yeah, I found myself just, sorry, Sarah, I just found myself applying for a lot of things, and then but yeah, as you were saying with your friends, like, okay, because if they're applying for stuff, it makes you feel like, oh well, I have to say I've been applying for stuff as well, and it's kind of like that pressure you put on each other to like, oh, be applying, be looking for things, and it's quite unnecessary.
Yeah,
so you might just be applying for things that actually, are you even that bothered about?
But yeah,
definitely. Yeah, and it's just to kind of stop that fear, really. It's like, if you're applying for jobs, then you're being really proactive, aren't you? And you're preparing your future. But really, you're just kind of like, I'll just do this for the sake of it.
Yeah. And I think so many people need to after uni, like, take some time to actually figure out what makes you like tick and like what you actually enjoy, instead of just like panicking into this, like, ah, I need to get this job now, so I'm just going to go into this random job that I don't even like. But so like, how did you find, you know, from uni life, not really a routine? I'm saying that I didn't really have a routine from that to doing the 9-to-5, like, how did you find the transition?
I'd say I probably found it all right, just because I'd done quite a bit of work experience previously. So I kind of knew what aspects of it I liked. So I kind of do like the mornings, but then when it gets to like 3:30, I'm just like, oh my God, can it be over? So I kind of knew what aspects I liked, and I like being in an office with people. I like going out and getting my coffee. So it wasn't that difficult. I think the actual 9-to-5 aspect and like working all day is fine. It is just everything else that comes with it, like the pressure, the imposter syndrome thoughts, and just everything that goes alongside it. It's so different to uni. But in terms of like waking up early and doing 7.5 hours of work, that side of it's fine. But yeah, it's just a lot different to what education is, really.
Yeah.
So did you get into the job kind of straight after graduating, or was there like a period of like a gap between ending uni and then starting your job?
So I finished uni, handed my dissertation in 16th of May last year, and then went travelling for 5 weeks around Europe, pretty much straight after that, and then graduated 17th of July, I think. And then I moved to London a week later without a job.
Oh, my God.
Without a job?
Yeah.
Oh, my God, that's ballsy.
Big move.
Yeah, no, my boyfriend's on a grad scheme down there, so we just decided to move. But then, yeah, I just spent like 2 weeks in my flat by myself just applying for jobs and got on quite quickly. But that didn't work out very well. So I left within a month because I just knew it wasn't really the place for me. So I now actually work for my dad's company, which is in Peterborough, but I still lived in London. So was a bit of a weird commute.
Yeah.
There wasn't any time really that I didn't have a job. No, probably just those 2 weeks after graduating.
That's so good. Like, that's pretty, you had a pretty like lucky experience. I was kind of the same actually. Like, I went traveling as well after I graduated, and then I moved into my flat in Edinburgh and like did it up, and then so it's kind of, I guess we were both kind of lucky in that sense. Yeah. But it's not always the case as well. Like, I want to emphasize that is not always the case for everyone.
Oh, definitely not. And also, I wouldn't, like, it is very lucky that I've kind of been earning money that whole time, but I do kind of, I don't regret how quickly I kind of rushed into getting a job, but
yeah, I feel
I probably now looking back, I wouldn't have minded if I had like 2 months to just kind of figure out what I wanted to do.
Because
I just felt like so pressured just to get something, because I knew other people were having like going into jobs, and it was just that pressure, like, oh, I need to get something, I need to get something now. And now being in a job, I'm like, wait, what? Where was the rush? There was literally no rush. We have all the time. Like, yeah, you just put it on yourself. Yeah. So kind of like going off what you were saying, you felt like, okay, a bit of imposter syndrome, like going into the working world. Do you kind of think there is enough support for graduates, like after they leave university and enter this whole different kind of, working landscape?
I'd say there probably is, but it just depends how hard you look for it. So I think I've been involved with my uni recently. I went to Leicester, and they're putting together some resources and kind of videos and Q&As for students approaching graduation and what to do with life after it, really. So I do think the resources are probably there at uni, but I think everyone just thinks that the second you graduate, it's gone. But you do just have to be proactive and get in touch with like the careers service, because they are still there for you even as a graduate. But in terms of well-being and the kind of resources and conversation around graduate blues, I don't think there's anything really there, which is why I started my blog, I think, because I was just like, whoa, why has no one told us how hard this is?
This is why we started the podcast as well.
I know. And it's actually been so nice to see so many other people doing it. And I think especially at the minute, kind of like class of 2020, they've probably got it a lot harder. Seem like that at the minute. So it has been so nice to see so many new blogs and podcasts being made kind of out of this, because I genuinely don't think there could be enough conversation about it.
I mean, like, what the hell? I honestly feel like I graduated and I just didn't expect, I don't know, you go through all these emotions and stuff, and you know, you've done 4 years at uni, and then you're just like, okay, like, bye. Nobody talks about it. Like, your friends do, but we're all just kind of like, what the heck? Like, I did not expect it to be like this. But
They never like really go through that, like, even in TV shows and stuff, it's always like, oh, maybe going to university or starting high school and these big changes, but it's never that big change, like entering the working world, or maybe the shows I've seen aren't really focused on that.
Yeah, there definitely isn't enough. And then it's kind of like all throughout education, especially like schools, we're told like, get this degree and then you'll walk straight into your dream job. But then also that rhetoric is still there when you're at uni, because your lecturers are just like, oh yeah, well, you could get a job in here and in this field and doing that and doing this. And it's kind of like, yeah, but how?
Yeah.
How do I actually get there?
Yeah, tell me about it. I mean, so do you think that there's like a lot of expectation to, you know, find your dream job like straight away, and that's you like sorted once you've graduated?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I definitely felt that, and I know a lot of people do. And I think it probably comes from the fact that, especially, I would say our parents are probably still a generation where it's like, oh yeah, I've had this job for 25 years now.
Yeah.
But I bet if you did ask them, is that your dream job? They'd probably all say no.
Yeah.
And I talked to my parents a lot about it, and talking to my dad, who has had like numerous jobs in different industries and roles, and then has set up his own company in PR. And I say to him, like, do you know what you want to do? And even like mid-50s, he's like, no, I don't.
Wow.
And it's like, it's kind of just breaking down that expectation of having this dream job that you'll fall into when you're 21, 22, have it all throughout your life. And it's kind of breaking that down to just being like, just find a job that makes you happy. And if you're in it for 5 years, perfect. Then leave when you want to and find your next dream job.
Yeah.
Because
there
probably
isn't just one thing.
No, exactly.
Yeah, it's just like experimenting, seeing what you like, and then some things might work, and then but also trying out things, and maybe they don't end up being something you enjoy, but you can always leave and there's always something else.
Exactly.
So maybe there isn't this dream job, but it's just trying out new things. I think that's a very good point.
Yeah. So, and it's completely acceptable to have like 4 or 5 like mini careers now. I think that's what.
Oh, definitely.
That's a good point.
Or side hustles and stuff like
that.
Like,
yeah, definitely.
So talking about kind of side hustles, moving on to your blog. So kind of talk about, when was the point that you decided, okay, I need to, I can have a voice in this. I can spread support to other graduates who are going through this difficult time as well. Like, just talk us a little bit about that time starting it up.
So I think it was probably October that I started to kind of get that idea. And it was probably just based on the fact that I'd just left I got a graduate job and had to leave it within a month because it just wasn't right. And then I felt so many emotions about like, oh no, but my parents were saying how proud they were of me. I've got all of these congrats on your new job cards up in my flat, and I've like packed it in. And I was a little bit like, well, what do I do now? I've moved to London and I've just got a job in Peterborough, and I'm so thankful that I could leave that job. But I was just feeling all of these emotions, and I was like, who is helping me? And like, obviously that I have people around me that help, but I was just like, surely I'm not the only person feeling this way. And obviously I'm not. Like, the statistics about people just experiencing mental health after uni, I think it's like 49% of graduates have some sort of mental health.
I mean, I'm not surprised.
In the following year, I know it's amazing, isn't it? How many people struggle. So then I did have a blog while I was at uni, so I kind of thought, oh well, maybe I'll just pursue my writing but make it less about like my day-to-day life and kind of ramblings, and put it into something that could help other people. So yeah, that's kind of where it came from, and I just kind of started it. And then early November I was just like, hey guys, I'm really struggling with life, so I set up this blog. But honestly, the reception's been amazing since.
Yeah, so I mean, you've got like you've got loads of followers and stuff. And, like, you seem really popular, and I think it's just because you're being so honest and like open about it all. And, like, no one is having these conversations, and literally like half of my friends that we, you know, when I speak to them, I'm like, oh, like, how's this going? You know, they're maybe not enjoying it, but and I think social media doesn't help as well, because everyone's like, yeah, look at me in this like fancy job, but then like in reality, are they actually, you know, enjoying this?
Yeah,
so true. Yeah, I know friends who've got into these like really good like grad jobs and like the big four, and then you actually speak to them about how they're finding it, and at least one of my friends is like, oh, it's a real struggle, like she's finding it pretty difficult. And you don't think, like, you think, oh okay, you secure that job and that's you sorted, and you don't actually talk about the realities of actually, okay, living through that, having to work the 9 till 5.
Especially with those big grad schemes as well, it's kind of like, from a friend perspective, it's like, oh my god, they're doing so well, look at them. That must be such immense pressure for them to be like, oh my god, I've done it, I've got this big grad scheme, how great, I hate it, what do I do now?
Kind of going on to that then, what would you like say to someone, like, what advice would you give to a graduate that's like maybe in one of these big fancy jobs and they hate it? Like, what would you kind of advise them to do?
Obviously it completely depends on like individual situations. I want to say that before I give any advice and someone's like, oh mum, I've quit my job. I would say, and this is what I always do, is just write a pros and cons list about what you like about it and what you don't. And maybe don't view it as like, I've got this job now, that's it, I'm going to be stuck in it, I'm going to hate everything. Just see it as like a little stepping stone, and work out from that what it is that you like about the role. And maybe you won't like anything about it, but that just shows don't apply for that industry next time. But you can leave a job. You can just think, oh, no, this really isn't for me. Yeah. Work out what your next step is. Never leave a job without having another job lined up. Definitely not at the minute. Just know that it doesn't have to be permanent. And like, even if you hate it, just try and work out the small little things that you do like and try and just focus on those while you are looking for another job. I think people probably are scared to leave jobs just because of what people around them might say. I definitely was when I wanted to leave. I was like, how do I tell my parents that I found this job and I want to just leave straight away? But yeah, I've just got to recognize when something is probably detrimental to your mental health. And
exactly,
you don't want to start off on the wrong foot and think, oh my god, I hate work generally, because you might just have a bad role.
That's so true.
Yeah, because I find that there's times, because I'm working at the moment, there's times I'm like, oh, I don't know if I'm 100% loving this all the time. And I'm like, I know it's not going to be the job I'm going to be in forever, but I know it is a stepping stone to where I want to be. And there's things I really do enjoy about the job. So yeah, I think that's a good point, that you can't think of it as like, oh, this is going to be me for the rest of my life and I'm stuck in here. Like, no, you have options, and you will find something better. And like, if it's really affecting you, like, definitely leave. Mm-hmm. But yeah. And also, searching for jobs can be quite an exciting thing as well.
Yeah, definitely.
But what would you kind of say to someone, okay, maybe they've not got a job at the moment, or they've just left university and really trying to find something, but they're feeling a little bit demotivated. Did you ever feel like that? And do you have any advice for someone who's kind of in that situation?
Yeah, definitely. I kind of went through that, because I think when I first left uni, I didn't really know what platforms to use to apply for jobs. So I was just using Indeed. And that is probably the worst place to go for a graduate, because I swear no one will ever get back to you if you apply for a job via
Indeed. Tell me.
Indeed. I've never had that. And I'm just like, are these actually real listings? Like, is this actually a job?
They're all fake. Like,
but I think a lot of them are like from months and months ago, because they just don't take them down. So I definitely felt demotivated, because you can apply for like so many jobs and never hear back, and you're just like, why did I go to all that effort? You're just like, oh, I thought now that I've got this fancy bit of paper saying I have a degree, someone would snap me up in a minute.
You get a job in 2 seconds.
But yeah, I think my main bit of advice would be, if you can't find a job in the field that you really want to go into, don't trade that in for getting any old job, because even if it takes you a few more months, you'd probably rather have those few more months to kind of think about things rather than going into a job that you'd end up hating and feel stuck in.
Yeah, that's a good point, actually. And I think a lot of people are like so scared and they jump into things like quickly. But that's a good point.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't really have any advice for that, because it is so difficult, because you can go to career service at uni and they'll take a look at your CV or whatever and be like, oh, yeah, well, you could change that and you could do this, you could do that. But they never say to you, this is how you handle a rejection, and this is how you say, I don't know what I'm doing anymore, really. But you kind of just pick yourself back up. No one teaches you the resilience that you need, but I guess you do just find that after.
After enough rejections, just well. but also, I think it's also just knowing that it's not just you. I think what helped me when I was feeling a little bit demotivated applying for things and not hearing back and spending ages writing all these cover letters was that, okay, other people are going through it too, and it isn't just me, and maybe, okay, this job wasn't right for me, but there will be one that will be right for me. And it's just knowing that, okay, I'm not alone in this. Like, yeah, it can be a struggle, but it's just that motivation just to keep going.
Yeah, you're definitely not alone. And also it does go back to the kind of if you don't get a job, it probably wasn't right.
I love that
if something doesn't happen, it didn't happen for that reason. Even if it's that you get rejected from so many jobs and then you finally get a job and you hate it, don't then think, oh god, what was that all for? Because I didn't like my first job and I left, but that is what made me start my blog. And I actually can't tell you how much I love doing my blog and writing and like helping people.
That's so true, actually. That's like us with the podcast, Rach. Like, I really enjoy doing this. Like, I've discovered, like, I did law and now I'm like in the world of marketing now, mm-hmm. social media and stuff. Like, I had never come across that before. Yeah. Like, and so that's a really good point. Great advice you're giving us. Well, I guess we kind of covered this question, but like, how do you deal with the rejections? Do you just kind of like, you know, pick yourself up, just apply for more? Or do you kind of like take some time out? What do you kind of do?
I guess I haven't really gone through all of that myself, yeah. apart from when I was applying for grad schemes in third yeah. year. And I think more than anything, and I was saying this to my boyfriend the other day, it's like, I hate it when anything goes wrong, because I hate getting sympathy. So I would hate it if I had to tell someone, oh yeah, no, I got rejected from that job.
Yeah.
Because I just want to be like, no, leave me alone. I'm getting back on with it. I'm going to apply for another one. It's fine. So I think I was very kind of, I just put like a little guard up and I didn't let anything really affect me too much.
Yeah.
But I'm not really sure where I learned that from, but it did help me, because I was just kind of like, oh, fine. Didn't want that job anyway. But
I love that.
A year and a half down the line, I'm like, oh my God, thank God I didn't get one of those jobs. I'd have hated that.
Yeah.
So it is really easy kind of in the moment to be like, oh my God, I've been rejected from this job. I must be terrible. I'm never going to get one. My CV is really bad, blah, blah, blah. But yeah, it takes a few months to be like, oh yeah, that would have been terrible because of blah, blah, blah. So
yeah.
Yep. So
good,
true.
Good point.
So, you were talking about like finding different ways to like find jobs. Like, it's not all like going on Indeed. So I saw on your Instagram and your blog talking about networking and LinkedIn. And this like networking, I know there was like events and stuff at uni, but I was always too scared to go to them. It was something I was like, oh no, this is going to be really intimidating and they're all just going to see right through me and think I'm an idiot. So did you like make the most of those networking things when you were at uni? And what kind of tips do you have about networking and that kind of side of finding a job?
So I didn't go to any kind of like events that were called networking. Because I was just like, well, what am I going to say? I'm just going to be like, exactly. Oh, I'm doing a degree. Do you want to hire me in the future?
Yeah.
but I think whenever anyone, probably just young people, think about networking, they think it is like that. Like you've got to introduce yourself. You've got to go up to people that you're really like scared of their position or whatever. But I think at uni, networking is like a completely different thing, in that I had a couple of jobs like through the Students' Union, and I've met different people through different things like that. So I was on the peer mentoring scheme, which just helps like first year settle into uni. And then in third year, I became like the lead mentor for my department. So I was working quite closely with the SU, which has meant that now I've been able to approach them with my blog and say like, hey, can I help you guys at all through this?
Yeah,
and I've actually ended up like back in contact with the person that I like used to work for. So it's just having those little connections. So I could approach that and be like, hey, I used to work for you helping students.
Yeah.
Is there any way that I can now help your graduates? So it's not about like who you meet at like a fancy networking event. It's kind of like who you just come across in like your day-to-day life at uni. I did have a Leicester, they did like a professional mentoring scheme. So you were matched with someone in a certain industry. And through that, I met this really nice guy that worked for the Crown Prosecution Service. So my degree was in criminology. I don't know if I've even said that. So I got kind of matched with him, I guess. And he mentored me through kind of what it would take to get into that role and showed me little insights into that, which then actually led to me doing some work experience or a couple of days shadowing the probation service within a court in Leicester, which was like super interesting. And that's probably the only thing about uni that's kind of shown me anything to do with the real world and working within the field of criminology. But it was having that kind of professional person available to me that really helped. So if there are any schemes like that, I definitely recommend someone trying to make the most of that. But no, I didn't go to any networking events.
I think that's really interesting. Sorry, Zara. But I think it's just really interesting what you were saying about actually joining these clubs or just who you meet and whatever, like maybe it's a society or sports, whatever, the people you meet at university, that is networking. These people might come, I don't know, end up in a job that you're really interested in. Yeah. And it's just these connections that you make. Like, I was actually part of the student newspaper, and I'm pretty sure I probably could get back in contact with them and ask if they needed, if they wanted to, feature in the podcast or provide any advice to graduates. So yeah, it's a good point.
Yeah. And you've also got to remember that your friends that you meet at uni could just become that person. Like you say, it's like, my friend now works at whatever company and I really want a job there. That's my internal way in.
That's a good point. Yeah, that is a good point. Yeah.
So even if you've not got some kind of like mid 40-year-old professional that's got loads of experience, your best friend might be the one that gets you a job in the future.
Yeah.
And also I think I'd advise, like, be nice to everyone you meet, because you don't know, like, you know, they might help you out in the future. That is a good point.
Yeah, definitely.
So, you know, your blog and your Instagram, it's all, I think the reason, you know, so many people can relate to you and really like your stuff is because you are so honest about, you know, how you're feeling, and recently said, you know, you kind of felt a bit demotivated and stuff. I mean, how important is that for you to be honest on social media? I mean, I know your blog is basically, you know, the realities of grad life and being honest about it. So, you know, obviously means a lot to you. I mean, how important do you think it is to be honest?
Yeah, I'd say incredibly. And that's always what I want to do. And I do obviously fall into a trap where I'm like, oh, should I put this on and like say this? And then I'm like, well, no, because I feel really rubbish today.
Yeah.
So why would I be like, oh, remember to do this, it'll help. Actually, I'm just sat there feeling really shit. And I'm just like, I can't help anyone. But maybe I'd be helping someone by saying, all right, I'm having a really bad day today. I can't get on with my work. I feel really rubbish about the whole lockdown situation. Anyone else in the same boat? And then I get people messaging me saying, like, yeah, I'm feeling exactly the same. And like, I put a little like question box on earlier saying, like, how do you guys brighten your day when it's so miserable outside? And so many people replied with ideas. And now I can share that to everyone else. And someone that might be struggling but hasn't said anything can benefit from that. So I do think it's really important because, yeah, as you say, my entire blog is about how crap life can be. So I don't want to be like, oh yeah, I love my job, I've been doing this today, I've been for 10 runs in the last week, and I'm doing this. It's kind of like, all right, sometimes I really don't like my job, and sometimes I absolutely hate being 21 and I just want to be 10 and yeah, I cry a lot, but that's what I've built with my blog and my Instagram, just kind of saying, do you know what, if you've graduated, if you've finished university and you feel really crap, join the club.
No, seriously, I think it's so important. It's really refreshing as well. Like, it's so, it does, you know, make you feel not good, but you know, you're like, oh, I'm not alone for once. You know, I can actually relate to so many people. So yeah, respect for you for being so open and honest. And I think more people should try and, you know, more people should try and be like that on social media.
I do think it is a problem. And then, yeah, you do see people that are graduates and they're like, oh my God, I've got into this fab job and I'm doing so well. And my friends, we're going on holiday all the time. And that's great. And that is absolutely fine if you want to use social media as your kind of like positive diary.
Yeah.
But I mostly just use mine as my honest diary. So
yeah,
it can be damaging to others. So that's why I just want to show to everyone that it's all right to feel this way. And we all do.
Yeah.
It's so true. I mean, if your life is perfect and you're going away on these holidays and doing all that fun stuff all the time, like, yeah, fair enough, like, post about it. But if it's not always sunshine and rainbows, which a lot of the time it's not, especially as a graduate, like, I think, yeah, you kind of have a duty to share it. I mean, you don't have to obviously go that personal, but yeah, I think what you're doing is great. So yeah, thank you, Maddie. It's been really great to chat to you. I think we've just got one last question, which we ask all our guests at the end, which is just like, what would you tell someone who's feeling a little bit clueless about what they want to do next in their life? Like, maybe they've just left university or about to graduate. What would you tell them if they're not sure what to do next?
Come and read my blog.
Yeah.
No, I would just say, don't panic at all, because your 20s aren't for figuring everything out. Your 20s are for getting things wrong and learning from it. So if you don't walk straight into a job, you will learn from those few months that you're out of a job. just take everything as a lesson and learn from it, and just try and laugh as much as you can. Like, I love laughing when things go wrong, which is probably a bit weird, but it just makes everything just seem so much more positive. It's like, oh, I didn't get that job, haha, next time. But yeah, my main thing would just be don't stress and realize that you're not alone.
Yeah, yeah, that's great. solid advice throughout this episode. I think it is so useful. You should be like a, I don't know, like a student counselor or something. That's like your calling in life.
Oh, thanks.
Oh yeah, also plug yourself. Where can everyone find you? You know, where can you find your blogs and stuff? What's your Instagram? Plug yourself.
Yeah, so my Instagram is mindthegapgraduates. Which obviously, when I was in London, I was just seeing Mind the Gap everywhere on the tube. So I was just like, oh, hang on, I'll just call it that. Yeah. And yeah, my blog is mindthegapgraduates.co.uk. And you'll probably just be able to find me randomly through there. So
yeah, we'll tag you as well and everything and share and stuff. But yeah, you've been a great guest, really, really helpful.
Yeah,
and
great advice.
Yeah, I mean, it's still so relevant for us as well. And we've been, you know, we've graduated like a year ago. So yeah, thank you so, so much for taking the time to talk to us today.
No worries at all. It's been really nice to be on. Thank you.
So again, we just want to say thank you for Maddie for coming on to the podcast today. I definitely found it really helpful. I think she had some pretty solid tips that I'm definitely going to use. And yeah, I love what she was talking about, networking. And yeah, I think that can be the kind of challenge for this week. If, I mean, I know I was kind of fearful of going up to people and asking them for advice and for tips, or potentially like, oh, you know, give me a job. But the way she was saying it was like, well, it could be your friends, it could be just connections you already have. So I think the challenge would be to, you know, maybe go up to someone who's in a job that you kind of admire, maybe through a friend or through LinkedIn even, and just sending them a little message being like, hey, how are you doing? Do you fancy maybe having a Zoom coffee and just kind of discussing maybe jobs and careers, just having it really relaxed and chilled like that. I mean, it's a shame we can't all meet up in person at the moment because of old corona. But yeah, I think that would be a really good and helpful thing to do.
Yeah, for sure, everyone. Let us know how you get on with that little challenge. Yeah, like Rachel said, you know, use LinkedIn, use these kind of sources. They're really helpful. They've helped me as well. So yeah, let us know how you get on with them anyway. As always, guys, thank you so much for listening. Don't forget to follow us on Spotify, on Apple Podcasts, and on Instagram at @ClueslessThePodcast_. And we can't wait to speak to you all and hear from you all next week. Bye.
Bye, guys. Thank you.